From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. On today's Fresh Air, we start our Independence Day celebration early with a concert of American popular song featuring pianist and singer Eric Comstock. His repertoire includes many great forgotten and neglected songs. He's been called the heir apparent to Bobby Short. Our classical music critic, Lord Schwartz, has been following Mark Morris and his dance troupe around the country. Lord will bring us a report on Morris's recent work. Lord considers Morris the most inventive modern dance choreographer working today. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Thousands of people in Florida are awaiting word on when they can return home. About 35,000 residents of Volusia and Brevard counties were evacuated when wildfires jumped containment lines in the Ormond Beach area. The fires have shut down a 125-mile-long section of Interstate 95. This has caused problems for commuters and holiday travelers. Pat Duggins with member station WMFE has more from Orlando.
Interstate 95 is the main conduit that takes traffic along Florida's east coast along the Atlantic Ocean. Parts of it have been cut off all the way from Titusville in northern Brevard County all the way up to Interstate 295 up in Jacksonville. That means that a major artery of traffic has been cut off. The situation now is they're basically trying to divide their forces, send U.S. Forest Service people out to try and build fire breaks while local firefighters try to put water on the fires and do what they can that way.
The wildfires have also forced a postponement of the Pepsi 400 NASCAR race in Daytona Beach. That's the first time that's happened in the event's 39-year history. More than 250,000 acres of forest and brush have burned since Memorial Day, making these the worst wildfires in Florida in more than a decade. President Clinton is in Hong Kong, the last stop on his trip to China. He'll meet with the Chinese province's chief executives and with democracy activists who serve in Hong Kong's legislature. Mr. Clinton ended his trip to mainland China by delivering an environmental address in Guilin, one of China's most beautiful natural areas. He warned the environment must not be sacrificed for Chinese economic growth. Hong Kong's first elected legislature under Chinese rule has opened for business. Pro-democracy members who were thrown out at the end of the British's rule last July have been sworn in. Belinda Caminata reports from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong's Democratic Party returns to the Legislative Council with an ambitious agenda to bring full direct elections to Hong Kong by the year 2000 and to have the next head of the government, the chief executive, also directly elected. Such a push is certain to bring the Democratic Party into conflict with the government, which insists on more gradual democratic reform. Although Democratic candidates won two-thirds of the vote in the May election, they do not have a majority in the Legislative Council. Pro-Beijing candidates benefited from a complicated election system to take most seats, and a staunchly pro-Beijing politician has been elected president of the Assembly. For NPR News, I'm Belinda Caminada in Hong Kong.
Investigators in Northern Ireland say arsonists burned 10 Roman Catholic churches across the British province, three of them severely. The fires occurred just hours after Catholic and Protestant leaders shook hands on a fragile new government. On Wall Street, the Dow was down nearly 13 points at 9,036. Trading is moderate. This is NPR. In NPR's business update, on the last day of a shortened holiday trading week, there are more signs that the economy is cooling off. The government reported new jobless numbers today and gave the latest data on factory orders. NPR's Jack Spear reports.
Following Wall Street's run-up back above 9,000 yesterday, things have slowed considerably on the financial markets today. Twin economic reports from the government show the economy is starting to be impacted not only by the current weakness in Asia, but also by the ongoing strike at giant General Motors, which entered its 28th day today. Labor Department reports unemployment was up 0.2% in June to 4.5%. That was despite the creation of just over 200,000 new non-farm jobs last month. Meantime, orders to factories fell by just over 1.5% in May. U.S. stock and bond markets are closed for the holiday tomorrow. Jack Spear, NPR News, Washington.
New York City and state have announced sanctions against Swiss banks suspected of keeping the assets of Holocaust victims. If there is no settlement between the banks and representatives for the victims by September 1st, New York will bar short-term investments with Swiss banks and stop them from selling state and city debt. The city and state also won't allow banks to provide letters of credit, which are insurance policies on city debt. Northwest Airlines and its pilots union have reported no progress on contract talks. No new talks are set. Both sides met with federal mediators in Denver this week. The union had told the National Mediation Board it believed the carrier had stopped negotiating. Only the board can declare an impasse in contract talks. This would trigger a 30-day cooling-off period, and that could be followed by a strike against Northwest. I'm Korva Coleman, National Public Radio News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Borders Books and Music, offering a world to explore through books and music. Location information, 800-644-7733.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're going to get a head start on celebrating Independence Day with a concert of American popular song. Joining us is singer and pianist Eric Comstock. He has an extraordinary repertoire that includes many neglected and forgotten songs. In fact, he was described as the heir apparent to Bobby Short by Will Friedwald, the author of the book Sinatra, The Song Is You. Friedwald also wrote the liner notes for Comstock's CD, Young Man of Manhattan. Eric Comstock lives in New York and performs at clubs and cabarets there. Joining Eric Comstock today is bass player Dean Johnson. Welcome to Fresh Air. And Eric, I'd like you to open with a song. Why don't you introduce it for us?
Well, it's a song that when I write in shorthand, I always say 8:46 because it's an Al Dubin, Harry Warren song called About a Quarter to Nine. Jolson introduced it. I don't sound much like Jolson. Hope nobody minds. With Dean Johnson.
Life begins when somebody's eyes look into your own. Life begins when you get your gal all alone. From morning until twilight, I don't know I'm alive. But I know love begins at 8:45. The stars are gonna twinkle and shine this evening, about a quarter to nine. My loving arms are gonna tenderly twine around you, around a quarter to nine. I know I won't be late, 'cause at 8:30 I'm gonna hurry there. I'll be waiting where the lane begins, waiting for you on needles and pins, and then the world is gonna be mine this evening about a quarter to nine. I'm gonna hurry there. I'll be waiting where the lane begins, waiting for you on needles and pins. And then the world is gonna be mine this evening about a quarter to nine. This evening about a quarter to
tonight.
That was wonderful. One of the things, Eric, that I particularly like about your performing is the songs that you choose. You have such a great repertoire of kind of known songs that I personally really love, and then songs that you're just discovering that nobody does. You can't really call them standards because not enough people do them to call them standards, and you could call it American popular song, but they're not really that popular because they're not really that known. What do you call the songs that you do?
Non-standards. I just coined it. Oh, I think because it's such a vast body of music and just the movies and show scores that happened year after year after year. I envy the guys who were doing what I now do in those days. Or maybe I don't. Maybe it'd be a lot of work. These days, I don't find a lot of show songs that I want to do or movie songs. But it's just this vast body that didn't... Or they were hits for the moment. You know, they made it onto the hit parade for 4 weeks and then they went away. And songs would compete in the same score. Like Shall We Dance, the Gershwin Shall We Dance. There are 5 or 7 sensational songs, and not all of them were going to become evergreens, you know.
Since most of these songs are from the past and not from our time, how do you go find them?
Well, I've always been a record collector and a sheet music collector, and I think it's just my hobby, and I'm fortunate that my hobby is my favorite thing. So I'm always on the lookout.
Well, I asked you to bring a song or two that you've discovered that very few people know, and maybe you could do one of those for us now. And I'm thinking in particular of a Rodgers and Hart song that I know you brought with you, which is called How Can You Forget? Tell us something about the song, how you discovered it, why you love it, before you play it for us.
It's from a movie called Fools for Scandal. I've never seen the movie. I heard a Bobby Short record of it on one of his Atlantic LPs in the 50s, and I just thought it was really bizarre. Larry Hart really being bizarre and kind of obsessive, and I really liked it, and I did my own arrangement of it quite a long time ago, and then only in the last year have I wanted to do it again. There's one line, it's the second line of the chorus, that I just think no one had ever thought of that before, and I just love it, and about just wait for the line about the mosquito bite.
Okay.
Shall we?
Absolutely.
I know I should forget her. Imagine I've never met her. These things can never last. You can't bring back the past. I know I should forget her. Imagine that I've never met her. There's lots of fish in the brine. Just look around and cast your line. How can you forget when you lie awake and dream at night? How can you forget when your heart has a mosquito bite? When the drops of rain that fall say petter, petter once again. Don't let her, let her, let her leave you, says the postman then. How can you forget? Ringer, 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 says the phone. You can win her yet, bring her, bring her, bring her back alone. Fish were meant to fry, and you're in the net. Till the day you die, brother, how can you forget? 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 When the drops of rain that fall say petter, petter once again. Don't let her, let her, let her leave you, says the postman then. How can you forget? Ringer, 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 says the phone. You can win her yet, bring her, bring her, bring her back alone. Fish were meant to fry, and you're
day you die, brother. Cast your line and try, brother. No use asking why, but how can you forget?
Terrific. A great performance and a great song. At the piano and singing is Eric Comstock. Dean Johnson is on bass. And Eric Comstock has a new CD, which is called Young Men of Manhattan. Eric, when we were talking on the phone as we were setting up this concert and interview, you told me that there was a time when you sang very differently. And I forget the adjectives that you were using to describe that singing. Perhaps you remember that it was more, I don't know, British or, you know, quote, sophisticated. I know what you said. You said something like, I used to think to sing these songs, you had to sound like, and it was some more kind of fusty British singer who you mentioned in that context, and I can't think of who it was.
I don't remember either, but I was happy just to do that sort of thing, stick with the 30s and perhaps the 40s. And of course, I always sang ballads, and I cared about ballads, unrequited ballads. But I'd sing them because they were good, not because occasionally there'd be one that got me. But it would be because I was learning, I was amassing a large repertoire, and I always found Fred Astaire, Jack Buchanan, those, you know, they're great. But we've moved on, I guess, in the world since then. And only in the last year or so have I cared about, as I said, modern songs, but also perhaps age-etching those fascinating lines or something. I'm beginning to feel, there's frustration that can be expressed. And it's not a bad thing. It's not bad manners. Manners uber alles, maybe, used to be my motto, or, you know, and be a pleasant someone to visit with, you know, at the piano. I still hope I am, but I think I'm more truthful.
So you don't do it?
No.
Why don't you do a ballad that you do? Introduce it for us.
Well, I'll do another Rodgers and Hart, and this one will be on my next record, which will be a Rodgers and Hart record. Larry Hart's always been my favorite lyric writer, but of course, as we're discussing, I mean, more and more I realize how important he is and how much perhaps I have in common with him. And it's from a show that only ran in the West End, so it didn't get a lot of play over here. And it's from a show called Lido Lady. And it's called, in a very Larry Hart way, What's the Use?
What's the use of hands if there's no one to hold? What's the use of hearts if they have to be cold? What's the use of having very good ears when nobody tells the story that cheers? There's no use in having feet, it appears, with none to run to. What's the use of lips if there's no one to kiss? What's the use of eyes if they never see bliss? When the April moon is shining above and spring begins to give the winter a shove, what, oh, what's the use if there's no one to love? What's the use of having very good ears when nobody tells the story that cheers? There's no use in having feet, it appears, with none to run to. What's the use of lips if there's no one to kiss? What's the use of eyes if they never see bliss? When the April moon is shining above and spring begins to give the winter a shove. What? Oh, what's the use if there's no one to love?
My guest is pianist and singer Eric Comstock. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with pianist and singer Eric Comstock. He has a CD called Young Man of Manhattan. You're from New York?
I was born there, on the Upper West Side before it was fashionable, raised here and there in New Jersey, primarily in Wayne and Ridgewood, New Jersey, both in northern New Jersey. 20 miles from Manhattan, though my folks weren't the sort who would take us in very often. You know, there was culture in New Jersey. We went to the New Jersey Symphony. We went to small theater groups, that sort of thing. So I wasn't bereft of culture, but it was very suburban culture.
So how did you find, initially, these kinds of songs, theater songs?
They had a couple of records, and was Cherce, mm-hmm. You know. Not many, but great. Fats Waller, Fred Astaire, a couple of Bobby Shorts, and Noel Coward at Las Vegas. And I didn't understand all those words. But as soon as I heard them, I should tell you, my father was in the news business, so words matter.
What did he do?
Newspaper editor. Now he's a part-time professor of news and of journalism.
Were you singing then?
I was singing. I don't know what I was singing. When I was five, my nursery school yearbook referred to me as our own Sinatra. And I have no idea what I was doing. Showing off like mad, of course, as I continued to do. For all the girls, but I don't know what I was singing. Oh. Running around and look at me.
The 5-year-old Sinatra, I love it. Oh, so
I'm glad he isn't here to hear that, folks.
Did it set you apart from other friends to like this music that probably a lot of your friends didn't like or didn't know and didn't want to know?
Sure. I was always, for a variety of reasons. I mean, I was no jock, of course. I wasn't a great piano student. I didn't love, it was songs that turned me on. It wasn't Chopin or Mozart. So I had other reasons. I mean, I was a very well-spoken kid. I was a kid in elementary school and junior high who was the first with his hand up for current events because I was mad about, in those days, because of my father's career, politics. He went to the national conventions, brought home bumper stickers and all that junk, and I loved it. So I was this egghead who cared about the world in which we lived. I was a McGovern volunteer at 11. I was a real oddball. So they had plenty of ammunition without songs, without He Likes No Coward.
Did you find other people who liked the songs that you did?
No. not till college.
Now, did you feel that you had to kind of dress in a tuxedo or, you know, in period clothes or anything in order to sing or like the songs?
No.
Was there any trouble for you kind of bringing them into the present and into your life in suburban New Jersey?
Well, I wasn't performing them in those days, though. I thought I might be a conductor for Broadway or something. I was interested in being behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real gradual evolution from loving those few records to loving musicals, to being a musical director type, and then suddenly I decided you didn't have to have a legit voice to sing for a living. And then piano became really a means to an end, and I just plowed through the songbooks and found out the changes and that sort of thing. But it was very, you know, the chords in sheet music aren't very good. My bridge to jazz-oriented popular singing, where it's Broadway music mostly, but in a very different way, in what I find much more fulfilling than the way Mr. Rogers wrote it, don't alter a dot, was Mel Torme, because he did an album called Mel Torme swings Schubert Alley, in which, if you're looking for vulnerability, look elsewhere. But it was a masterful musician in charge, singing in a very charming way with superb, well-arranged things behind him, you know, and also very good songs. So that was my... I was a Torme maniac for several years, and I sounded exactly like him. And since then, I found other people to listen to, lots of other people, and got more interested in lyrics.
You're doing more ballads now, but I know you're still also doing a lot of up-tempo songs and just really kind of clever, fun songs. And I'd love for you to kind of show that side of your performing now. Maybe you could do one of those songs for us. In fact, I'll make a request. There's a song on the new CD called, the CD's called Young Man of Manhattan, but the song I'm going to request is called Pillar to Post. Tell us something about the song and then play it for us.
The song is by Bob Merrill. It was in a musical based on that great Peter Sellers movie, The World of Henry Orient. But there was an ill-fated attempt to make a musical of it called Henry, Sweet Henry. It starred Don Ameche. And in this song, Don Ameche is singing to Louise Lasser, who is playing a Scarsdale housewife who writes erotic poetry. And while he lets her read her erotic poetry and acts aroused, he cannot get her upstairs to carry on. And so in his frustration, he sings this song.
We've been fleeing from pillar to post, being chased through New York by some ghost. If not soaked to the skin, we have surely been in drafts a lot. We have kissed with both passion and frenzy on the ramps of Grand Central and Penzi, under rocks, under trees, and at intimacies in shafts a lot. In the music hall's very last rows, we have put on some interesting shows. We have often been cause for wild applause and laughs a lot. Through the park in a hansom against the wind we've sped. We have certainly circled that course a lot. People tell me I smell like a horse a lot. It's been pillar to post, but never to bed. In the back of St. Pat's and St. Luke's, all those looks of disdain and rebukes, as if you were some tart and I was Jack the Ripper. And at Temple Emmanuel, I am certain that Rabbi could tell he was stuck with a couple of Gentiles for Yom Kippur. For a modern Don Juan or Sir Lancelot, I don't seem to get out of my pants a lot. It's been pillar to post, but never to bed. It's been pillar to post, but never to bed.
Pianist and singer Eric Comstock performing in our studio. He'll perform more songs in the second half of the show. Eric Comstock's CD is called Young Man of Manhattan. It's on Harbinger Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by this and other NPR member stations and by Barnes & Noble, booksellers since 1873. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, we continue our concert and interview with Eric Comstock. Later, our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, reviews work by choreographer Mark Morris.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'll go sailing. It's far beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt my heart will lead me there soon. We'll meet beyond the shore, we'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with singer and pianist Eric Comstock. He lives in New York and performs at clubs and cabarets there. His CD is called Young Man of Manhattan. Accompanying him on bass today is Dean Johnson. I'm going to ask you to do another ballad. And this is a ballad you do on your new CD, Young Man of Manhattan. And I was just delighted to find it on the CD. It's a song that was cut from the movie version of Bells Are Ringing. It was in the show, cut from the movie. It's a beautiful song, another song that, you know, virtually nobody does. I mean, they didn't even do it in the movie.
Right, so, and a very inferior replacement, yeah.
Yeah, so the song is called Long Before I Knew You. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to do the song.
I've always loved it. I did once conduct a production of Bells Are Ringing, and I always liked it, and I always felt it was overlooked in favor of Just in Time, and the party's over. And I also wanted to, it was also the first time I played at Town Hall, I did it, and I was extremely nervous, so I feel, I guess that it's a good luck charm. And I'm just extremely proud of this arrangement because it's not verse, chorus, instrumental, refrain. I say it because I think the best songs can be said in one chorus. And it just is a complete statement all by itself. And I just love that feeling of just the build, and one chorus can do it. And many of the records I think you and I both love, and folks out there love, is often one chorus will do it. I Left My Heart in San Francisco, which is a sensational record. And there are lots of those. There's the famous, I don't know if you're aware of, the Sinatra Where or When, where it's 28 bars piano, and then this crashing crescendo. It's just crashing crescendo, and it's so satisfying and thrilling. So I wanted to find a song where I could do that sort of thing. Betty Comden, Adolph Green, and Julie Stein.
One thing I know, everything I feel for you started many ages ago. Long before I knew you, long before I met you, I was sure I'd find you someday, somehow. I pictured someone who'd walk and talk and smile as you do, who'd make me feel as you do right now. All that long before I held you, long before I kissed you, long before I touched you and felt this glow. But now you really are here, and now at last I know that long before I knew you, I loved you.
Beautiful. That's Eric Comstock, piano and vocals, Dean Johnson joining him on bass. And that song, by the way, is also featured on Eric Comstock's CD, Young Man of Manhattan. When you started performing, were there any people who you really had always liked a lot, who you were able to meet and who became mentors in a way? I know you probably knew a lot of people who played in New York from their records, people like, you know, Bobby Short or Tony Bennett. Did you have a chance to meet people like that when you were starting?
I've certainly known Bobby. He's always been extremely gracious. He's always been terrific to me. And, you know, he's so important that he keeps doing it and showing folks the way to do it.
Now, I know that you used to work in a record store.
That's right.
Right.
Tower and, Records when it first opened in the Village. Yeah.
And as I recall, you worked there at the same time that Will Friedwald did. Will Friedwald, who has written a very popular book about Frank Sinatra and is now working with Tony Bennett on his autobiography. So that must have been interesting, the two of you both so obsessive about American popular song working in this record store together.
We didn't get a lot of dates, let's put it that way. Things have looked up in the years since. Yes, well, he was, I've given Mel the credit for being my bridge. I should say that the bridge to Mel was Will. And he worked in the jazz section. I worked in the show tunes vocals section because I was encyclopedic about Broadway musicals, and that's all. And he was the one who was much more jazz-oriented.
Have you ever tried your hand at songwriting?
Yeah. I don't do it very often. There is one track on the CD that's mine, but I don't write every day remotely. I love the songs that I do so much that I just feel I could never be more than a second-rate writer because these men and women were miraculous.
Well, you've actually added a lyric. I'm going to ask you to do this. There's the Cole Porter song, Let's Do It. Noel Coward added his own lyrics to the Cole Porter lyrics, which are a scream, and then you've kind of added your own on top of that. Could I ask you to do a little bit of that for
Certainly.
Us?
Certainly. Yeah, Noel Coward did it at Las Vegas, and it was a smash, and so I've modernized it a bit because neither of them is here to do it. That's why Belgians and Greeks do it. This is Coward's line. Nice young men who sell antiques do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. Some network anchors unplugged do it. Donaldson unplugged or unrugged does it. Let's do it. This is an ABC station. Let's fall in love. That nifty gal, Tipper Gore, does it. When she finds signs of life. Our president, you may be sure, does it. Now and then, with his wife. Teenagers squeezed into jeans do it. Can't wait till all our fax machines do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love.
That must get a nice reaction when you do that.
Also, several attorney phone calls. Yes, they love that. Yes, they do.
My guest is pianist and singer Eric Comstock. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Eric Comstock is my guest, and he performs a lot in New York and has a new CD called Young Man of Manhattan. When you actually moved to Manhattan after living in suburban New Jersey, did that transform you at all, living like in New York?
It did my social life a world of good. Not being at home, of course. I was able, it was so easy to get good music, to find good music in stores that were a walk away. I'm someone that the human race would rather not have drive. I mean, I'm a very faulty driver. I have a license, but just barely, and it's better that I walk. So I walk and take trains and so forth. But sure, finding that Cafe Carlyle, what an education that was. And I spend my discretionary income mostly on, rarely go to movies.
You have a song on the new CD called, say, Young Man of Manhattan. In fact, the CD title comes from that song. Let me ask you to do just one chorus from that. That's a good song.
Thanks. Okay, well, the story here is Fred Astaire did this on Broadway in a show called Smiles with a Vincent Newman score. There was one standard from that score, Time on My Hands, beautiful song. The show was a fiasco. It was Fred and Adele Astaire and Marilyn Miller. Big stars, Ziegfeld production, still didn't make it. But this was the first song in which Fred Astaire got the idea of shooting chorus boys with his cane, which he did on film in Top Hat 5 years later.
New York, you're part of it, you're in the heart of it, say young man of Manhattan. You've got the whole world now. What place could offer you Times Square, Fifth Avenue, say young man of Manhattan. You're in a great spot now, both up and down. It's a wonderful town. It's a town of renown. It's a fabulous one city, fun city. It's yours. Be proud of it. Go tell the crowd of it, say young man of Manhattan. New York is your hometown.
That's great. That's Eric Comstock. And that, by the way, is the title song of his new CD, Young Man of Manhattan. As a singer-song archivist, you not only kind of excavate forgotten songs, you have forgotten lyrics to better-known songs. I'm going to ask you to do one of those for us now. The song is I Guess I'll Have to Change My Plan, the Dietzen Schwartz song, but you have a kind of unsung lyric that you found.
I don't think it's been performed since Clifton Webb, of all people, introduced the song in a review in the 30s. And, Sinatra recorded two choruses, but there are also two verses and a third chorus, and it does change things around a bit.
I beheld her and was conquered at the start and placed her on a pedestal apart. I planned a little hideaway that we would share someday. Then I met her and unfolded all my dream and told her how she'd fit into my scheme of what bliss is. Then the blow came when she gave her name as Mrs. I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized there'd be another man. I overlooked that point completely until the big affair began. Before I knew where I was at, I found myself upon the shelf, and that was that. I tried to reach the moon, but when I got there, all that I could get was the air. My feet are back upon the ground. I lost the one girl I found. I should have realized I'd be the also-ran. Why did I buy those blue pajamas before the big affair began? My boiling point is much too low. for me to try to be a fly Lothario. I think I'll crawl right back and into my shell, dwelling in my personal hell. I'll have to change my plan around. I lost the one girl, but on second thought, this resignation's wrong. Most women want the man who comes along with love that's secret, yet more true than they're accustomed to. And besides, it gives a most romantic edge when one is barely hanging from the ledge of abysses. So I find I do not mind that she's a missus. I guess I'll have to change my plan. Supposing after all there is another man. I'm glad I bought those blue pajamas before the enterprise began. For all is fair in love and war, and love is war, which makes it fairer all the more. Forbidden fruit, I've heard, is better to taste. Why should I let this go to waste? My caution to the wind is tossed. I found the one girl I lost. Go for it.
Wonderful. I never heard that. And you're right. Yeah.
Don't try that at home.
Oh. Now, how did you find those last choruses?
They were recorded once that I know of on a probably long out of print survey of Dietz and Schwartz songs.
Makes it much more naughty.
Ooh, yeah. But the blue pajama idea, that was very hot stuff. And it was called for years The Blue Pajama Song. I mean, that was its subtitle on, and most people requested it as, oh, that blue pajama song. So that, in the 30s, pretty hot.
I'm going to ask you to end with a ballad. I know it's a song you often end your shows with. And I'm going to ask you to do this because you're so good at finding songs. And this is a song by America's most famous composer, Irving Berlin, yet it's a song that's not very well known at all. Tell us about the song.
It was in an early talkie picture called Hallelujah. And I have seen that scene, and it's not very interestingly staged at all. And where did I first hear it? I guess I heard it, I think K-Star did a record, a very bright record, like a shuffle. It's a very exciting record. She changes the lyrics to make it a love song. The one I love will be waiting at the end of the road. And that, I'm sorry to say, is sort of trivializing what the song is really about. I think it's a spiritual. So it was in that movie, and I heard K-Star's record. Then I went to, Mr. Berlin was then alive, so I went to his publishing company, and they would give me these songs, you know, with no tax charge. It was only $2.95. I was watching my pennies at that time, so I was grateful to have that. And also, there was a piano, and you could sit there and look at them and say, oh, do I want this or don't I? And they were really nice that way. So, yeah, I end it because I think about, though I'm trying to live utterly in the present, there are some forebears that I am so grateful to in music and out of music. And so I think of them every time. I think the latest one is Mr. Sinatra.
The way is long, the night is dark, but I don't mind, 'cause a happy lark will be singing at the end of the road. I can't go wrong, I must go right. I'll find my way, 'cause a guiding light will be shining at the end of the road. There may be thorns in my path, but I'll wear a smile, 'cause in a little while my path will be roses. The rain may fall from up above, but I won't stop, 'cause the ones I love will be waiting at the end of the road. But I'll wear a smile, 'cause in a little while my path will be roses. The rain may fall from up above, but I won't stop, 'cause the ones I love will be waiting. The ones we love will be singing, they'll be waiting at the end of the road.
Beautiful. Thank you, Eric Comstock. That was terrific.
Thank you, Terry.
And thank you, Dean Johnson, for being with us on bass. Thank you.
Yes.
Eric, wonderful to have you performing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Singer and pianist Eric Comstock has a CD called Young Man of Manhattan. It's on Harbinger Records. Coming up, the work of choreographer Mark Morris. This is Fresh Air. Mark Morris made news recently as the director of the failed Paul Simon musical, The Cape Man, but Morris is better known as a choreographer. Our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, considers Morris the most inventive modern dance choreographer working today. Lloyd has been following Morris's work for over a decade, and he's also been following Morris and his troupe around the country.
Last December in Berkeley, California, I saw Mark Morris's witty, unsentimental but mysterious and moving contemporary version of the Nutcracker, which he calls the Hard Nut. Unfortunately, I couldn't get back to Berkeley for his production of Rameau's forgotten opera Platé, which received rave reviews last month, his first major enterprise after the ill-fated Cape Man. Berkeley is one of the places that can't get enough Morris. Happily, so is Boston, where I live, and the Brooklyn Academy of Music, where I just saw Morris's revival of one of his major works, Henry Purcell's 300-year-old opera, Dido and Aeneas. Morris says it's his last Dido, and I couldn't miss it. It's one of Morris's pivotal pieces. In it, he dances two roles, both female. Dido, the tragic queen of Carthage, and the malevolent sorceress, Dido's nemesis. When Dido falls in love with Aeneas, the only royal survivor of the Trojan War, the sorceress makes sure that Aeneas travels onward to start the Roman Empire, leaving Dido behind to kill herself in shame and grief. Morris and his marvelous dancers portray the characters on stage, while the singers remain in the pit with the orchestra. In this production, echoing Morris, the exciting young mezzo-soprano Stephanie Novacek sang both Dido and The Sorceress, extremely unusual for one singer. Baritone James Maddalena made a noble and conflicted Aeneas. Here they are, eloquently conducted by Craig Smith, singing Dido and Aeneas's parting duet. They give Nahum Tate's feeble language, away, away, no, no, I'll stay, the game-playing ring of emotional truth. While Mark Morris and heroic, dreadlocked Guillermo Resto as Aeneas, who's wearing a skirt longer than Morris's, dance the scene. The stakes for all of them are life and death.
Let Jove say what he will, I'll stay.
Away, away.
No, no, I'll stay.
Away, away.
No, no, I'll stay.
No, no,
I'll stay.
No, no,
I'll stay.
No, no,
I'll stay.
Away, away.
I'll stay and love all day. I'll stay and love all day. I'll stay and love all day. And love all day.
Morris's deconstruction of gender roles is a major part of his power and originality. No artist today demonstrates more deftly how limiting gender stereotyping is. Sexuality is too powerful a force for typecasting. For example, in Medium, Morris's new piece using John Harbison's piano quartet, November 19, 1828, a haunting evocation of Schubert in the afterlife, there's a fascinating sequence of lifts. First, a man and a woman rush from the wings, and the man swings the woman around by the arms. Then two men perform the same steps with one another. Later, when the first couple return, it's the woman who swings the man around. This pattern of physical and emotional equality is persistent throughout Morris's choreography. In The Hard Nut, for instance, both men and women in tutus dance the snowflakes. Playing Dido, Morris unites the tragic nobility of a Vanessa Redgrave with the let-it-all-hang-out animality of, say, Anna Magnani. His Sorceress has the hilarious but dangerous hissy-fit bitchiness of Joan Crawford. All of these qualities reflect what's in Purcell's music. Dido's ritual gesture of passion, her hands pushing down from her breast to the pit of her stomach, is later inverted by the sorceress and her gang of witches, their hands thrusting up from the stomach to the chest in a malicious parody of Harakiri. Morris's dual role turns out to be not only about gender, but also about the way we each have within ourselves the impulse to destroy our own happiness. It's his ability to see through and past the obvious that makes Mark Morris one of our most crucial and compelling contemporary artists.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. The Mark Morris Dance Group will perform at the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival from July 14th through 18th. Fresh Air's interviews and reviews are produced by Naomi Person, Phyllis Myers, and Amy Sallet, with Alan Tu, Monique Nazareth, Tracy Tannenbaum, and Anne-Marie Baldonado. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Bob Purdick is our engineer. Sue Spolin directed today's show. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.